Praise God. Let's turn over to Romans 3:21. Romans 3:21. Everybody there? Everybody have a Bible? I don't even know where the Bibles are. Do we get those handed out? They're back there. Okay, we're all set. Anybody has a scripture sheet? Romans 3:21, it says, "But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, whom God set forth as a propitiation for by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." Amen. Let's read some of that again. It says, "But now the righteousness of" who?
God.
The righteousness of Jim? No. Righteousness of Becky? No. Of Evandro? No. It says the righteousness of God. Apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and prophets, even the righteousness of God. Notice how it comes. Through faith in Jesus Christ. To all and on all who what?
Believe.
Who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified. When you see being justified, that's the same as made righteous. It's the same thing. If you've been justified, you're declared righteous. If you've been declared righteous, you are justified. Like somebody said, a simple definition of that is justified, never sinned. Justified. Because whose righteousness are we talking about? God. Now, we talked about this on a Wednesday several weeks ago. We're going to touch on some things today. We're going to talk about the righteousness of God, what we have through Jesus. What we are celebrating today is not a religious ritual. It is the fact that Jesus made it possible for you and I to have the righteousness of God, His righteousness. Apart from you, apart from me. His righteousness. This is not, just like I said, this is not a ritual. This is not something that we just celebrate to check out, well, it's Easter, we're going to go to church. This is to celebrate the fact that Jesus made it possible for you and I to actually be righteous and not in our own self. Living righteously, that's a different thing. That should be a fruit of the fact that you have been made righteous in Christ. We're not saying you should not live righteously. We ought to. But that's not a substitute, and it certainly doesn't buy you anything with God as far as your standing with Him. And so I encourage you, if you want more on this, we talked about this in that series, because this will affect your faith, what we're talking about today. This is one of those things that if you get this, you realize that you are the righteousness, that you have His righteousness, it will affect your ability to come before Him and receive. And it will affect your ability to do that even when your behavior hasn't been perfect, and that's the key. Because so many times the enemy will steal from us because he'll tell you, how dare you, look at your sorry self, you don't have any right to receive anything from God, look what you just did. If you don't understand what we're talking about today and understood what we talked about in that series, it will rob you of faith. You won't have strong faith. You'll be just easy to knock around. Because all the enemy has to say is, Oh, you're going to believe for that? Look what you did. And you'll drop right there. You won't believe. It's not that Jesus didn't provide it. It's that you won't receive it. Why? Because he's holding out? No, because you won't take it. Because you don't think you're worthy, really. Doesn't matter what you say in here. Doesn't matter what you quote and claim you believe or how many messages you've heard. When push comes to shove, if when you need something from God, you are hesitant to take it because you look at what you've done, you don't understand righteousness. And that will affect your faith. You won't be able to receive. So it says, look at verse 22, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. We could spend another 5 weeks on this. So I just preached on this a few weeks, but it's so easy to get on it. Now, my intention is to hit, just give you a lot of scripture on this morning. Just hit you with it. But I guess we'll go where we need to go. All right, I'm not going to try to hurry, but this is so rich and so key to what we believe as Christians that we could be here for 3 weeks solid and just barely scratch the surface. All right, for there is no difference, verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace. See, justified freely by his grace. Here's something you need to understand. You're justified by his grace, but look back at verse 22, even the righteousness of God through what? Through faith. See, it's by grace. In other words, you could not save yourself if Jesus didn't die for you. All bets are off. You can believe all day, but what are you believing? People believe all kinds of things. But if there's nothing, like you could believe that I'm going to give you $1 million tomorrow. But if I didn't tell you I was going to give you $1 million tomorrow, well, let's back up. Even if I told you, or let's put it someone else. Let's say somebody else told you, because I'm going in a negative eight, that they were giving you $1 million. Now, it doesn't matter if you believe them. If they don't have $1 million, you're not getting it. Is that true? They can tell you all kinds of things, and this happens in the world. Believe it or not, people do say things that are not true. They can promise you any number of things, but if it isn't available, you can believe all day long, and you're believing in vain, right? Now, that's like the grace of God. The grace of God made it available. You could not be saved unless by grace Jesus provided it to all men, and grace is to all. See, that's God's part. Grace is to everybody. Everyone. His grace is extended to the whole world. But not everybody's going to be saved. Did you know that? Yes. Some people have pushed it past what Scripture teaches and say, well, if God loves everybody and His grace is to everybody, that means everybody's going to be saved. No, that contradicts Scripture and that's error. Well, Jesus would never let God would never let anybody go to hell. Why? It's not Him that's sending anybody to hell. His grace has provided salvation to everybody. Now, how do you receive it? By faith. You have to believe that, in this case, that Jesus did die for your sins, that He was raised from the dead, and that by believing on Him, you can become a new creature, a new person. You can become born again and made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's by belief. That does not happen by grace. Do you see that?
Yes.
It's through faith. You have to believe it. That's why not everybody's saved. Now, we're not going to go off here. That's why not everybody's healed. Well, if it's God's grace, why aren't I healed? It doesn't happen by His grace. If it was by grace, everybody, whether they were believing or not, would be healed. Do you see that? You would be healed. Why? Because God's grace does not differentiate. It's to all. Jesus' sacrifice was made for everyone, but only the ones that receive will partake of it. So it's not all God. Why isn't this happening? It's not God. God, it's there. It's a matter of you receiving. We got to believe, right? So faith does have something to do with it. It's the same thing as this righteousness we're talking about. God's grace has made you the ability for us to be saved. We partake of it, and when we partake of it, partake of salvation, we are made the righteousness of God. Now, for that to work in your life, even though you are the righteousness of God, you have to believe you're the righteousness of God. And that's a different thing. Now, you could have. Let's read the rest of this and let's go into a few things here. We'll go with what we need to go on. Verse 24, being justified freely by his grace. So being justified, when you see those words, you can say made righteous. You will see that. We'll see that when we read it in different translations. Made righteous, same as being justified. If you're righteous, you're not guilty. If you're righteous, you're justified. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 25, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate whose righteousness? His righteousness. Notice it's not talking about your righteousness. That's a separate thing. Because in his forbearance, God had previously, passed over the sins that were previously committed. Verse 26, to demonstrate at the present time, whose righteousness? His righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Did you see that? That he might be just and the justifier. That means made righteous. The person that makes righteous of the one who what? Believe. Who has faith in Jesus. Now look at verse, you can see how this goes together. Verse 24 says, being justified freely by his grace. Verse 26, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Do you see? He's saying both things. How do they go together? Grace provides it. Faith takes it. Faith is the arm by which you receive from God. In other words, so we go back to the thing. Somebody's promised you $1 million. If you show up at such and such a time on Wednesday, let's say 3 o'clock Wednesday afternoon, if you show up at such and such a time, you will be given $1 million. Now, if they don't have the $1 million, it doesn't matter if you believe it sincerely, doesn't matter if you show up early, doesn't matter if you have your best clothes on, you are not getting $1 million, right?
Right.
It's not going to happen. That's the same way as false religions or things all kind of people believe. They're sincere in their beliefs, but if it's wrong, it's wrong. Some people say, well, I just believe we're all just, you know, we're all children of God, and he just loves us all, and if we just do the best we can, he's going to accept us. Honey, you can believe that all your life, and if that's not the truth, that's not what's going to happen, regardless of how much you believe it.
Right.
Not going to happen. Just like the $1 million, not going to happen, because it's a lie, right?
Right?
It doesn't exist. So when people get all, well, you know, everybody has their own beliefs, that may be true, but there is one truth. It's not a matter of, well, you know, just don't want to offend anybody. They're going to be offended when they go and realize it's wrong.
Right.
How offended do you... It's worse than offended. It's eternity. Wait a minute, this was all a lie? It's not a matter of offending people. Well, you know, we just let everybody to each his own. Yeah, to each his own. And we're talking about eternity here. Okay, on the other hand, if somebody has the means to give you $1 million, They have it. It's theirs. Let's say they came up and told you. And somebody gave you a pamphlet that says, show up Wednesday afternoon at such and such banquet hall in so and so, you know, hotel in Andover. And we will give you a certified check for $1 million. Or no, better yet, we're going to give you $1 million cash. We have a duffel bag. To each person that shows up, we're going to give you $1 million. Now, if they had the means to do it, and they had the cash to do it, but you said, that is the biggest lie I've ever seen. You crumple it up and throw it away and go home, and you don't do anything about it on Wednesday, are you going to get $1 million?
No.
But does that mean it wasn't available? Now, what if the next person said, you kidding me? Man, it's worth going to check out. I'm just going to go see. I'll take off work. I'm going to go see if this is true. And they show up, and they come out with their $1 million. Does that mean the guy favored them over you?
No.
They believed. This is exactly the way it is with the Lord. Can you see this? But so many people are going, you know, why? If he really loves me, he would have given me $1 million too. Did you do what he told you to do? No. But he should just do it anyway. Oh, okay, see, that's where the problem is. Because they said whoever shows up and believes, it didn't matter. Say whoever, that means they have a lot of money. Or they handed out only a select few pamphlets. One of the two. Because they said whoever, based on whoever they gave that to. With God, he makes his promises. There's a lot of places it says whoever. In Romans 10, might get there, it says whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay? Is that there? Jesus provided it by his grace. But a lot of people don't believe it. A lot of people say, I don't believe that. Jesus was a man. He's not the Son of God. I don't believe it. You're believing a fairy tale. Big God, you know, big guy in the sky. You're believing a fairy tale. I don't believe that. There is no God, you fool. That's what people say, right? Okay. They have to believe. We have to believe, right? We believe and we accept what God's grace has provided. In this case, we're talking about righteousness. Okay? So we have to believe that we are righteous. We have to believe it. Now, if you believe on Jesus, like what we're talking about today, we celebrate Easter. Well, if this is all means to you is that we get up and, you know, we dress in bright colors and pastels and, you know, we come, it's a special day, more people go to church on this day or whatever, and they show up, and we go home and have your selection, whatever you make for Easter. Some people do ham or whatever, roast beef or whatever, might have an Easter egg hunt, and you get the family over. If that's all it is, that's not terrible. At least you're getting together with people, whatever. But you could do away with most of that and still have the essence of what we're really celebrating, right? What we're really celebrating, not to knock any of that, don't misunderstand me, but if that were all it was, is a celebration without the reality, what we're celebrating is that you and I, if we believed on Jesus, have been made the righteousness of who?
God.
Of God, through Christ Jesus. The righteousness, his righteousness, we've been made righteous. That means we've been made in right standing, we've been justified in him. Let's look at, let's turn over a chapter, Romans 4:24. Praise God. Verse 24 said, everybody there? It says, but also for us, it, now if you look up before, verse 22, it says, therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness, talking about Abraham. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us, it, righteousness, shall be imputed to us who believe in Him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification or our acquittal or our being made righteous. That's why He was raised up. So you and I could become righteous. This is not just a religious term. What this means is that we were made the right standing with God. It's a positional thing. Not by you and I. No, it's the righteousness of who again?
God.
Let me ask you a question. Does God's righteousness fluctuate?
No.
How do you approach God? Based on your righteousness or His righteousness?
His.
Now, I don't got time to get into all this. Your righteousness will affect how you approach Him, though. It's a faith thing. If your conscience bothers you, you won't approach Him. That's why it's important to live holy, and that's why it's important to get your conscience clean. If you want more on that, go listen to that series on Wednesday. I don't have time to get into it today. It's important to live holy, and it's important to keep your conscience clean. 1 John 1:9 talks about that. If any of you go before God, you confess your sins. Let Him ask God who gives. I got to go. Let's go over there real quick. Confess your sins, and He will forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. First, I don't want to go here. I'm just touching on it. I'm saying if you want to get some, go back and listen to the message. But if we're going to talk about this, at least just in a complete nutshell, we got to touch on this, because otherwise people get the idea, it doesn't matter what I do. And people throw out this verse. They'll say, it doesn't matter. This is not the only verse in the Bible that talks about this. Righteousness and confessing your sins is throughout the Bible. Do you realize how many verses in the Bible does it tell you how to get saved? Do you know? There's not that many. Romans 10, 8 through 10 tells you, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that He was raised from the dead, you shall be saved. But it talks about being saved all over the place. Okay? It tells you exactly what to do here. That's not the only place it talks about confession. When you blow it and you go to somebody, if you say, and I blew it, I'm sorry, that's confession. It's throughout the Bible. So we need to know that. And like I said, don't want to really go here this morning. But verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, that's talking about you. It does not mean that you're saved, unsaved, saved. No, because that's the righteousness of God. That doesn't change. But you muddling around in this arena, in this world, if you go and do something that you know you shouldn't do and your heart condemns you, your heart will bother you and you will not have confidence to act on what God has already done. You won't. And so you can try to go around, and this is what people do when you're talking about people trying to believe something that isn't true. People have gone so far as they think, it doesn't matter, I can go before God no matter what. Your conscience will bother you, though. You will not be able to get around it. You try to just say, no, it doesn't matter, it's the righteousness of Jesus. Yes, it's the righteousness of Jesus that provided it, the grace. But how again do you receive? By what? By faith. And if your conscience is bothering you, you know what? You're not going to receive. Why? Because you don't believe you're really worthy. You can tell everybody you are, but you know. Why? Because you have a conscience. It's bothering you. It's pricking you and saying you can't. So you'll try to act bold, and then you wonder why it doesn't work. There's a man side and there's a God side. If we try to make it all about God, the extreme of that position is everybody's saved. If you go to say it's all about you, the extreme of that is it's all based on your works. The truth is, it's in the middle. God had His part. He sent Jesus. We have to do what? Believe on Him. And it's as simple as this. You do something you know that you shouldn't have done. I'm talking about something you know. If it's something you didn't know, then you don't know it. And it talks about in verse 7 that, look at it. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light you know, if you walk in what you know, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. That means if you don't know, that you're not doing it, God's grace, the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin. But if you know you sinned and you know you did something, there is no getting around that your conscience will bother you. And guess what? If your conscience bothers you, you will not approach God strongly. Even though the grace of God's right there, He's provided everything, something will prick you. You will not have strong faith. What do you do about it? Do you go and do 4 weeks of penance to get rid of that?
No.
All you do is you confess it. What does that mean? To say the same thing that God says about it. What does God say about it? It's wrong. It's this easy. If you blew it, you say, God, that was wrong. I'm sorry. Forgive me of that. We talking about forgiving to be saved? No, because that's God's righteousness. We're saying, I did something in my body that I shouldn't have, or my mind, I shouldn't have. I'm sorry, Lord. Your word says if I confess those sins, I will be cleansed of all unrighteousness. You forgive me, and you cleanse me of all unrighteousness. So I'm cleansed now, and now I'm right back where I need to be. I'm strong in faith because I followed what the word says. I believe that what He said in His word, that yes, I have been made righteous, His righteousness, I have blown it out here. I am saying, God, that was wrong. I'm sorry. You get right back up just like you never did anything wrong, and you go and you can pull on whatever you need right there. It's not a complicated procedure. It's not hard. It's not anything, and it will cleanse your conscience. It will purge your conscience. Boy, I really did not intend to go this way. But it's very hard to hit all the things that we're saying without at least touching on this, because otherwise it's just so easy to go off in a direction. Because what the devil will do is right after the service, if we just focus on the one part, he'll come to you and say, "Yeah, but you did this." And if you don't know how to take care of it, you'll try to say, "Well, that doesn't matter," and that's not true either, because your conscience knows it doesn't matter. And the devil knows it matters. And so what he's going to do is knock you over the head. So you need to know, and like I said, we spent 4 or so weeks on this. Listen to those messages. You need to know that, number one, the righteousness that gets you anything from God is the righteousness of God. But if you do something here, your righteousness, it will condemn your heart. It will affect your heart, which affects your faith, which affects your ability to receive what has already been provided. Does that make sense? So if you do something that you ought not to do, you go, "Oh no, I've blown it. It's all over." No. You say, "Lord, that was wrong. I'm sorry. Forgive me." And you get right back up and go on. It's that easy. You say, "That's too hard." Well, then the Bible's lied. I mean, the Bible told you to do something you can't do. It's not that hard. The devil will try to say, "Oh, that's too hard. Well, you're going to confess every sin." We're not talking about every sin. We're talking about something that you know you did that convicts you, that bothers you. Now, we know this all as children, right? You knew. You remember. I remember one time I went into my parents listen to this or whatever, they remember it. I was in a store called Kmart, and I took something out of the store and tried to get out of it. I was stealing. I was an action figure or something. And the person got me and brought me to my parents and made me put it back and everything. I was so ashamed. I had to say I'm sorry and everything. Your conscience, I knew it was wrong while I was doing it. And you probably all have similar stories. You know it was wrong. But when you go before Him and you say you're sorry and you get that cleared, oh, good night. It's just like, or if you get your spanking or whatever, you go home, yeah, you know, it wasn't over, but you go and you get your punishment and then it's over. Oh, is that not a relief? You guys know exactly what I'm talking about. You know what people are trying to do today? They're trying to act like, "It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because I'm good. It's all right. Me and God, we're tight. It doesn't matter. I'm righteous." And they use this to say it doesn't matter. And you know what's happening? They're going around with that heaviness on their heart. Do you think that changed? It didn't change. You can't use the scripture to override that. And if you do, you end up in a place where people are trying to get somewhere when all God said is, just like with your parents, come confess it, say you're wrong, say, yeah, I don't want to do that, and just feel the freedom of walking in the light. Just that same, oh, God, you forgave me. All right. Man, I don't want to touch that stuff. You get up and you go on. Amen? Hallelujah. Now let's get back to where we were. Romans 4:24. It says, it shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses, who was raised because of our justification. Romans 4:24 through 25. In the Amplified, look at this. Righteousness standing acceptable to God will be granted and credited to us also who believe in, trust in, adhere to, and rely on God who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was betrayed and put to death because of our misdeeds and was raised to secure our justification. Look at that in parentheses, our acquittal. Making our account balance and absolving us from all guilt before God. That's what Jesus did. He raised us up and he acquitted us. Making our account balance and absolving us from all guilt before God. You have to understand this. Let's read it. Let's read it in 2 Corinthians. Just look on your sheet there. This is what we have to understand happened when we believed on Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17, 19, and 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Now notice that. Isn't that just what we were talking about earlier? God was in Christ reconciling who? To himself. The world. The whole world. Not imputing their trespasses to them. The whole world. Does that mean everybody's going to be saved? No, because not everybody's going to receive. But see, he did it. He already did the work. The $1 million is there, like in the other situation. But we have to go down and receive it. People have to receive it. Verse 21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So it says in verse 17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So when we are born again, it wasn't just something we said. It was something that happened to the new man on the inside. Not to your head, not to your mind, not to your body. On the inside, you became a brand new person. You became a new creation. You became the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Look at it in the Amplified. Next there on your sheet. Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation creature altogether. The old, previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. It was God personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world to favor with himself, not counting up and holding against men their trespasses, but canceling them. So it is done. Every sin you have ever will ever commit has been paid for in Christ. But you still have to receive it. Do you see it? You have to receive it. You receive forgiveness. Some of you guys are looking at me funny. Otherwise, everybody is already saved. And they're not. You have to receive forgiveness. And we're talking about being born again into the family of God. It is a position. So it's like this. If you are in the body of Christ when you're born again, just like if you've been married, you're married. If you're in a family, you're in the family. What happens if you get an argument with your spouse? Are you still married? Some people are sadly saying, yep, yeah, I am. What if you get in 3 arguments in 10 minutes? Are you still married? Every time you get, what if you say sorry after each one of those and then get in an argument again? Are you still married?
Yes.
Yeah, you are. You're not out of the family, are you?
No.
It takes a lot to get out of that relationship. That's the same thing. Jesus puts you in the family. Some people have said, well, if I sin, if I don't confess it, that means I'm going to hell. We didn't say anything about that. It's not about going to hell. You're in the family. But if you go and completely rip into your spouse and then go right after that and ask them for something real nice, you know, you might get a cold shoulder at that point. Stuff has cooled between you two. Is that true or not? Does that mean you're not married? Does that mean you should... What needs to happen before you go on and are back in normal relationship? What do you need to do? Apologize? Well, you don't need to apologize. I mean, you're married. So everything you're ever going to do, you've been married. That covered everything you're ever going to do in life. So you don't need to apologize. You told her that you loved her at, you know, when you got married, at the altar. You don't need to do it again, right? Isn't that right? So if you let her have it for, you know, Ripper, just you can come back and say, hey, what are we having for dinner? And you expect total smiling and right? No, not really. So then why do people think with God that you're, see, they twist it to where I'm righteous, so it doesn't matter what I'm ever going to do. I can do whatever I want, but I can receive. It's not talking about salvation. Because we have an enemy that will take it and twist that dagger into you and said, you know what you did. You know what you did. You know what you did. Do you know how to silence that voice? You go and say, if you did something wrong and it's bothering you, I'm not talking about every little thing. You just say, look, I blew that. I put that before. God said he would cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I have the word for it. So therefore, we're back to normal. I'm not talking about being out of the kingdom. I'm not talking about being kicked out. I'm talking about there, God said, number one, he put me in brand new into this family. Number two, he said in there that if I do miss it, if I just say that was wrong, I'm sorry, boom, even that part of it is gone. That means if it was anything between you and spouse, it's gone. Now, there is no ground for anybody to accuse you of anything. And if you know the word, you stand up and say, I don't know what you're talking about. I took care of it. Shut up and get out. Now I'm getting what I need. Do you see that? You, if you know the word, you have every legal right to demand that. So it says, verse 17, amplified there, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old, previously moral and spiritual condition had passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. It was God personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world to favor with himself, not counting up and holding against men their trespasses, thank God, but canceling them. For our sake, he made Christ virtually be sin. I just want to interject something here. Do you realize before Jesus, there was no way to experience that freedom that we're talking about? See, Paul, there's no way. You couldn't come back. You could confess it. You, in the old covenant, you could only cover sin. And it was only for so long. But you couldn't do anything about your conscience. You could not clean it. You knew year after year after year, we're unworthy, we're unworthy, we're unworthy. We're going here again to sacrifice because we just don't measure up. Do you realize what you and I have now is Jesus paid for us to have the ability, the legal right to cleanse us from every sin. We have to just receive it. But you did not have that ability. You never had that ability before the cross. To be able to stand up, to be able to point to the legal written document, the Word of God, and say, you have nothing on me. It's just as if I never did anything ever. Satan, leave. And you take whatever you need. You did not have that before Jesus. That is what we're celebrating today. That we can stand on His righteousness. Because of what He did, it's unchanging. That means if you stumble in the mud, which you don't have to do, don't get in this mode that I had to do it, I just had no choice, but you, in all likelihood, will stumble again before you leave this earth. When you do, that you can get right up and say, that was stupid, that was wrong. Lord, I'm so thankful I received Your forgiveness afresh. You go right on. And that's all, you just keep walking like that. You keep it to where you are just walking clean. And the devil will try to accuse you and you say, oh no, shut up, I took care of that. Have you read the Word? That's why you have to know the Word. Again, I encourage you, go back and listen to that series because we took 4 Sundays. I can't preach at all, I'm trying to do a synopsis. But if you are solid on the fact that Jesus, what we celebrate today, that He's our righteousness, He's the reason I can go before God, and you know the Word on it, and you can point to the Word, the enemy will try to come at you, and you can shut him down. Well, I just don't feel good today. I don't feel righteous. Righteousness has nothing to do with it. If you understand it. Your righteousness has nothing to do with it. What you did, you have to know what Jesus did and you have to act on it. Your feelings have nothing to do with it. What you feel like it. There was a, I won't name the person, but my pastor told the story. He was somewhere and he was acting as an usher and he saw before the minister was going to get up and preach. It was like he and his wife or something, they got into it or he heard something or whatever. And then he just got up and preached and it was like, he could just get up there and preach and it was great and everything. And he was like, how could he do that? And he realized it's because he understood righteousness. Because they got it hooked up. They got it taken care of before he got up there. And you have to know who you are in Jesus. And that it's what He did, not what you did. You have to live there. Thank you, Lord. Thank God. How are we doing? Praise you, God. Let's go over to Romans 10. We're just pretty much, well, I guess we went to Corinthians. Let's turn there to Romans 10. Romans 10, 1 through 13. Thank you, Lord. Everybody there? Romans 10, 1. It says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved, for I bear witness... I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. See, it does matter what you believe. You can be zealous, but wrong. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness. See, ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, own righteousness have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Stop right there. See, they're ignorant of the way God does it. How does God make you righteous? Through you believing on the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the only way. Do you know what it says here? Then it says, they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness. Do you realize that's what people all over are saying? Oh, you believe that? Fine. But I am doing righteousness. X, Y, and Z, and such as, look at you. You're not doing it. See, they're seeking to establish their own. And the next verse, the next part says, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. They won't submit to what God has said, how righteousness comes. It is the only way. So we have to understand that we were without a Savior. The only way for us to be made righteous and called righteous is what we read in Romans, that God sent His Son to die for us, that whoever believed on Him could be made the righteousness of God. We had, by legality, Jesus had to come and die and be resurrected from the dead so that people could believe on Him, a man, God, who came as a man, believe on Him, and that the blood sacrifice was made, the payment was made, so that you and I, if we believe, could legally transfer from the dominion of Satan to God's family. It's not about making up religion or whatever. There is only one payment. There was only one ransom made. It had to be by what God did through Jesus. That is the way to be righteous. It's not about, well, I believe something else. That doesn't get us out of the dominion of Satan. People can believe whatever they want, but in the end of the day, they're still under the dominion of Satan. But through Jesus, He made a way, and He said in the highest court of the universe that because Jesus shed His blood and died, that whoever will believe on that and receive and submit to that righteousness, they are imputed, that the righteousness of God is imputed to them. But see, some people are ignorant of it. Some people won't submit to it, and they say, I don't believe that's the way. Here's the way. They're not righteous. They look at you and they say, well, you're doing this and that wrong. You can't possibly be righteous. This is the way to be righteous. And they say, you have to do this, 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 and this, and this. And so what? They won't submit to God. They won't submit to the righteousness of God. Verse 4 says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Notice that. The end of the law for righteousness. That means you don't follow the law in order to be declared righteous. There's the only thing that could do that was the blood of Jesus. Verse 5, for Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law, the man who does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will ascend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto what?
Righteousness.
Righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So it's with your heart that you, how do you get to be righteous? You believe unto righteousness. How do you walk in righteousness? You believe you're righteous. What if you don't feel righteous a certain day? You wake up and you say, there is no way, there is no use getting out of bed. I just don't feel like it. I feel like God has left me. I feel like the dirtiest thing. For no reason. You could have had a great day the day before, but what if you get up and you just feel like, man, I don't know. I just lost that feeling. I just don't feel good. Now, are you still, if you're a Christian, are you still the righteousness of God? Let me ask you another question. Are you going to go through the day receiving the benefits of that if you act like, I just don't feel it, it's just not the case?
No.
When you go interact with your coworkers, are you going to act like you're the righteousness of God? If you don't believe it, you're going to act like, man, I guess I'm just getting what I deserve. They're trampling over me. You're not going to receive, you're not going to walk in it, right?
Right.
How do you walk in righteousness? You have to believe it. You have to believe what we're talking about today. This can't be an Easter Sunday thing. This can't be a, well, I believe that theoretically thing. This has to be, I don't care what the circumstances say. I don't care what I feel like. I am the righteousness of God. And let me ask you something. If you're the righteousness of God, then everything that you need has already been paid for, and you have the right to receive it now. Because if you're the righteousness of God, you've been acquitted, you've been justified, that means it's just like you never did anything wrong. If you never did anything wrong, and you have the righteousness of God, let me ask you it this way. Does Jesus have the right to get whatever he needs? He is God. But, you know, is there anything that Jesus' righteousness is lacking? If you were to say, you know what, if you look at his right, you know, he fell short here, so he's really not deserving today. And whose righteousness do we have? The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So let me ask you something. Is there anything that you need today that you don't have access to?
No.
Because again, tell me again, whose righteousness is it?
God's.
Has his changed today? But what if you don't feel like you are righteous today? You better start believing. What? Let me ask you something. You could be the righteousness of God and have the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. What if you don't believe that today? Tell me, is it just going to dump on you whatever you need? Otherwise, it would have to dump. See, this is why people say, well, I just don't know what God's doing. It's not God. God gave already. God saw ahead through time and already gave you what you need. You say, God doesn't see my suffering. Why won't he do something? He did do something 2,000 years ago. He saw you and he gave Jesus. Everything you need is in him. So what do we have to do?
Believe
it. Act like it's true. Believing isn't something like, ooh, I'm going to believe. I'm just going to ramp. No, it's not that. It's, you know what? I believe that. That's true in my life. I'm receiving that now. I take it. I am righteous. I am worthy. I am healed. Whatever it is you need, you stand up and say, that's true. It's been done in Jesus. His righteousness has not fluctuated. I have what I need now, and I believe it. How do you access the things of God? By faith. His grace put it there. It made it accessible, and by faith we say, hallelujah, I have it now. I have it. What if it doesn't look like you have it? That's like where a lot of people drop it too. Well, but I tried that. It doesn't look like I have it. Who said anything about trying it? Who said anything about what it looks like? Does the word say you're righteous or not? So is but I don't see it. Since when does what we see in this temporal world trump what the word of God says? It doesn't. But for this actually for you to receive it, you have to act on it and believe it and not let go of it. Well, I tried that. Who said anything about trying it for a while? You either believe it now and say it is for all eternity or not. Let me ask you this. How many people in here, if somebody tried to come up to you and say, you're not really saved, what would you tell them? Honestly, what would you tell them? Why? You'd have to lead them back to the Word of God. And what we just read in Romans 10. What does it say in Romans 10:8? 10:9, it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you might be saved if it's a good day. You'll be saved if the sun is shining and it's above 60 degrees. No, thank God. Because some people, if you live in Alaska, you're done. I don't know, maybe it gets, I don't know how high it gets up there. But anyway, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will or shall be saved. What does that mean? It's going to happen. If you do A, B is going to happen. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So you'd come bring them back to the Word. I'm saved. Let me ask you, anybody ever seen heaven yet? You may have seen it. Anybody visited there? No. You know with your eyes that it's true.
No.
Okay, why do you accept salvation, which is the biggest decision you will ever make by faith, and yet if something is pushing on your body and it doesn't look good, you say, well, I guess I'm just not healed. Why do you drop what your belief is for what you see when it can change like that? Now I believe. It's believing before you see. It doesn't happen the other way. Did you become born again after you believed or before you? Well, you had to believe, and then you were born again. You had to believe, then you were born. You had to believe, then you're born again. You didn't get born again and said, oh, I feel born again. I guess I'm born again. Hallelujah. That's what people are doing with healing. Well, I'm waiting to see. I'm waiting to see if I'm healed. I'm waiting to see if I'm healed. Guess I'm not healed. That's not faith. How do you receive from God? Faith. You take it. You say it. So how, when you don't feel righteous, should you wait till you feel righteous before you declare you're righteous? So you come out of here today and you know what? You say some sharp word to your spouse. You take it, get it, take it. Oh, I'm sorry, honey. I shouldn't have said that. But the enemy comes to you all day and says, you're an idiot. I can't believe you said that. You just came from church. It's Easter and just beat you. Should you wait till you feel like you're okay before you say, no, I'm righteous? No. You stand up and say, no, I'm righteous now. And you go right back to just living in peace. With whatever you need from God, you can take it. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Praise God. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. Let's close with this. Look at that on your sheet, and let's just read those last couple verses in the Amplified. Verse 9 says, because if you acknowledge and confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and in your heart believe, adhere to, trust, and rely on the truth that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart of person believes, adheres to, trusts in, and relies on Christ, and so is justified, declared righteous, acceptable to God. And with the mouth he confesses, declares openly, and speaks out freely his faith, and confirms his salvation. Do you see that? He is justified. He's declared righteous, acceptable to God, and he confesses the same. So we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus because of what he said. And we should declare that we are righteous. You don't have to go on the streets. People look at you like you're nuts. But under your breath, or when you're getting thoughts to the contrary, that's exactly when you need to say, no, I'm righteous. What does that mean? I'm justified. I'm acceptable to God. No, I'm fine. I am what? I don't feel like it. I don't care. Shut up, feelings. I am righteous. What Jesus did to me is real in my life. I'm receiving it. Hallelujah. And we just stay there. And we stay there. Doesn't matter if it's Easter or any other day of the year. This is not a day celebration. This is where we are in Christ. Amen.